When I was in seminary, there was a video that went viral on YouTube, and it was of a nun who was singing. And I just personally, whenever I listen to her sing, like some people I think have the gift of music, and others I don't think should make videos of themselves singing. And so I unfortunately started laughing at her. And so me and a bunch of seminarians were in the dining hall, and I was making fun of this nun singing, which is totally not Christian. And one of my friends, who was a professor in the seminary, as he was walking into the dining hall, he heard me and the other guys laughing about this nun's singing voice. And so he went to his office and he prayed for me. And then he sent me this email. And in the email he sent me, he said, "Hey," at that time I was a deacon. He said, "Deacon Josh, I just want you to know that I love you and I reverence our friendship. And I am so grateful that you and I both desire to be saints. That means the world to me that I know that you're holy and I want to be holy and we want to be holy together." He said, "But I just want you to know that the way that you were talking in the dining hall today about that religious sister was not okay. And that is not how a disciple of Christ talks about somebody else. We don't laugh at other people. That is not cool. And I just want you to know that I don't want you to not want to be my friend anymore, but I feel like I have to fraternally correct you regardless. So if you still understand where I'm coming from and we're good, that's great. If not, I care about your soul more than I do this friendship. So I just want to give this to you." And I read that email and my heart was pierced because I was like, man, what am I doing? Why am I laughing at anybody, at a nun too, you know? Like, seriously, what's wrong with me? And so I repented and I turned away, but I was so grateful with the way that he sent the email. Like, he assured me that he wanted to remain friends, but he understood if I didn't. But like, he was keeping the lines of communication open. He cared about my soul more than he did anything else. It was such a gift. But in essence, what he did was he judged me. Like, he judged me. My friend Lucy says she doesn't judge, she gets her opine. But I never heard that until I met Lucy. But he judged me, though. He judged me. And sometimes we say, well, should you not judge somebody else? Because the Bible says judge and you won't be judged. And so we try to not ever, like, tell anybody when they're doing something that's wrong. But the Bible doesn't mean don't judge in that sense. Well, the Bible means that we shouldn't judge insofar as we're judging someone's eternal salvation, right? We shouldn't say this person's in hell for what they've done. We can't judge someone's soul. And the church in her 2,000 year history has never said a single person's name who is in hell. We believe that heaven exists and that hell exists. We believe that there are people in hell because the Bible says that. But we have never said a person's name. We believe this particular person is in hell, because I'll be judging that person's soul. But we are called to judge actions. We judge actions all the time. For instance, if you run a red light, what's going to happen? You're going to get a ticket, right? And what are you going to say to the cop or to the judge? "You can't judge me. God says don't judge," right? No, you get the ticket because we did what was wrong. We're always called to judge actions. Right? I go over to my grandma's house, and she makes this great apple pie. And then one Sunday I went over there after Mass, and the apple pie she made, it wasn't that good. And so I drop kicked her, you know? No, right? If I did that, would you say, "Oh, that's cool, it's okay, we don't want to judge you," you know? No, you would say, "Father Josh, you can't drop kick grandma every time she messes up with the apple pie." It's just, we don't do that, right? And so we judge actions, but we're not called to judge someone's like eternal salvation. That's for the Lord. That's for the Lord alone. And that's what my buddy did with me. So how can we practically judge our brothers and sisters so that our brothers and sisters can continue their walk towards eternity, can continue their walk towards becoming the saint that God has created all of us to be? I want to give us a little method of something we can do. It's called facts, feelings, and future. All right, facts, feelings, and future. And we always sandwich them. We do a positive facts, feeling, future, a negative fact, negative feeling, hopefully positive future, and then again, a positive fact, positive feeling, positive future. So what does this look like? So it looks like this. Deacon JR and I, we hang out all the time. We grew up together, as you can tell. We're about the same age. And so he and I, we're just old buddies from way back in the day. And so we like to drive together a lot. We go and party and stuff. And so one day we're on this way to a party with our friends from our class that graduated high school with both of us. And Deacon JR is driving the car. All right, so Deacon JR is driving the car, and And he calls his wife Bernie, and he just calls Bernie on the phone, and he says, "Bernie, I just want you to know, Bernie's his wife. Where are you at, Bernie? Bernie, I see you somewhere. Hey. Hello, Miss Bernie." Right, so he calls with Bernie. He's like, "Bernie, I just want you to know I love you. I love you so much." And then he hangs up the phone. And I say, "Man, fact is, you called your wife. It was a random Tuesday. It wasn't her anniversary. It wasn't her birthday. It wasn't Valentine's Day. And you told her that you loved her. Right? What do you want from her?" Right? Now, I'm joking. No, but then I'm just like, "Man, that's so beautiful that you would do that on a Tuesday." It made me feel inspired to call my mom and tell my mom I love her, you know? And so in the future, what can I do? In the future, I'm going to start putting in my cell phone random reminders to call family members and just tell them I love them. But then also, one thing I noticed while Deacon JR and I were driving in the car on the way to this party with all of our friends was that Deacon JR, at one point while he was driving, he pulled his cell phone and he started texting somebody. And so another fact is Deacon JR, as we were driving, and he really didn't do this, y'all. Please don't judge Deacon. He did not do this. All right. That would be a sin if he did this. Okay. But let's say hypothetically, he started texting somebody. I could tell him, "Hey, Deacon JR, you know, as we were driving, a fact is it's dangerous and it's against the law to text and drive. You could have hurt me, yourself, and other people." It made me feel very uncomfortable. What can we do in the future so I don't have to feel uncomfortable when I'm driving with you? And then finally, another fact is when we got to the party, he texted Bernie again to say, "You made it to the party, but you can't wait to see her tonight." Man, made me feel also inspired to be aware of how other people may be perceiving my time. In the future, what can I do, right? So we give a positive fact, feeling, future, a negative fact, feeling, future, and we sandwich it with another positive fact, feeling, future. In a dream world, the person whom we are fraternally correcting will receive all three of them with gratitude. "Thank you so much. I wasn't aware what a gift that you're able to recognize, ways in which I'm doing really good, and ways in which I'm called to grow in virtue," right? Ways in which I'm called to change my life a little bit. That's the ideal world. In the real world, most likely when we give someone a compliment, they receive it pretty well. But whenever we challenge our brothers and sisters, most of them, and if we're honest with ourselves, most of us, when we're challenged and critiqued, what do? Whoa, resistance. We don't want to be challenged. We don't want to be critiqued. We don't want to be called to a deeper conversion by somebody else. So in the real world, what often happens is sometimes people may reject us and reject our call to fraternal correction. But Jesus says we're supposed to do that. So Jesus says in the Bible today, look, you see your brother or sister sinning, call them out. And if they don't listen to you, go get someone else. Call them out together. If they don't listen to y'all, get the church involved. And when they say get the church involved, he does not mean call Father Josh. What he means is call Deacon JR. He loves to deal with family drama. I promise you, just give him a call. I have a cell phone in the bulletin by next week. It's going to be great. So, no, call JR at family drama. And so, if after you call Deacon JR and you still have family drama, what does Jesus Christ say we're called to do? He says, if the person still refuses to change, he said we're supposed to treat them the same way that we would treat a Gentile or a tax collector. Now remember, we're Christians, so we're called to imitate Jesus Christ. So how did Jesus Christ treat Gentiles and tax collectors in the sacred scriptures? He shared meals with them, right? He invited them over for dinner. He remained in relationship with people who were not living in accord to what the gospel was calling them. Jesus Christ spent time with tax collectors and prostitutes and Samaritans, Gentiles, intentional, consistent time with them, regardless of whether they received the corrections that they were called to live or not. And that's what we're called to do as Christians as well. How many of us, show of hands, have somebody in our life who we know is doing something that is not good for them with regards to their walk towards eternity, right? We know that somebody in my life is not doing anything good. Okay, how many of us, for those of us who raised our hands, have someone in our life who is doing something that's not healthy for them to become a saint, and we've actually told them that we think it's not best for them as well at some point? All right, so number of hands. Okay, final question. How many of us have someone in our life who's living immoral in some way that is not good for them to become a saint? We've told them that it's not good for them in their walk towards eternity, and they've rejected what we've told them. All right, still a few more people. And so how do we respond to them? Right. Quite often, in an ideal world, we will say, I still love you. I still want to be in a relationship. But quite often in reality, what we can do is we can push them away. If you don't change, you can't come over to my house anymore for dinner. If you don't change, we're no longer friends. If you don't change, I'm not talking to you anymore until you change your way. Unfortunately, that's just not real Christianity, to walk away from somebody because they're still in the midst of their brokenness and imperfections. What am I not saying? What I'm not saying is that we're not called to enable people. So say we have somebody that lives in our house with us and they're abusing us in some way, shape, or form. I'm not saying we should let them stay there. No, I would say kick them out, right? Tough love sometimes. But remain in a communion with that person through your prayers, through them knowing, by you communicating, I love you. But right now, it's just not best for you to be here because of the way you're hurting me, right? So if that's the case, please, it's okay to be tough love with people. But in general, Christianity in general would say when people don't immediately respond well to our invitations to holiness, to our invitations to be disciples of Jesus Christ, we still remain with them, showing them the love of God, showing them that God's love is always there no matter what. How do we do this? So how do we grow in fraternal correction, not only for ourselves, but for our brothers and sisters in their walk and our walk towards eternity? I would say this week, go out and start calling people out, right? And see how it goes. Be like, man, your breath stinks. I've been waiting to tell you that this whole week. And Father Josh gave me permission, right? No, don't do that unless you really have to. No, what I want to invite you to this week is to show people fraternal correction by the way that we receive fraternal correction. So this week, whoa, it's going to be a challenge, really difficult. I want to invite all of us to ask people in our life to tell us something that they've noticed about us, something positive, right? What's something good that you've noticed I've been doing lately in my walk towards becoming the particular saint I'm called to be? Let me know. And then after we invite them to give us a positive way in which we're growing in holiness, invite them to challenge us. Invite them to give us an honest critique of how we're living our life. Like, is there something I'm doing that isn't in accord with Jesus and what Jesus desires for me and for all of us in our walk towards becoming saints? Let me know. And whether or not we agree with their observation or disagree with their observation about us and our walk with the Lord, after they give us their observations, both positive and negative, then we should invite them to share a meal. Hey, let's go have supper now. Let's go have dinner. What do you want to eat tonight? I still want to spend time with you. To show people the love of God. God's love is there no matter what. God's love is unconditional. It's not conditioned based on someone, whatever. It's unconditional. And he wants for his people in the world today to experience that, because some people didn't grow up with a relationship with God. And some people, their only encounter with God in this life is going to be with members of the body of Jesus Christ, us. We're going to be the only Bible that some people ever see. We're going to be the only tangible manifestation and expression of the love of God that some people encounter. And don't we want that to be an authentic expression of God in this life? Because if our fraternal correction, the way we receive it and the way we give it, is an authentic expression of Jesus Christ, then what's going to happen is people are going to encounter Jesus Christ in and through us. And by people encountering Jesus Christ and the love of Jesus Christ in and through us, they and us, we all will have the opportunity and the capacity to remain and abide in relationship with Jesus Christ in this life, and most importantly, in the kingdom of heaven for all eternity.